Today I'm going to talk about vision, and we need to have a vision to continue to reproduce young men just like this and young ladies. And today I'm preaching on capture the vision. That is my desire for you, is that you will indeed capture the vision. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. Now you can find it if you look. I tell you what, look at your Bible index in the front of your Bible, because it's only three chapters, and if you have trouble finding it, well, that's okay. It'll be on the screen anyway, so use your device or your Bible to find it if you can. You know, the book of Habakkuk would be identified as one of those minor prophets' books, not like the book of Isaiah or the book of Jeremiah, which are major prophets. But please, please know that regardless of it being a minor prophet or not, the message is still major, and the truth of it is still major in all the minor prophets' books. In his commentary, Warren Wiersbe shares this insight for us. His name means to embrace or to wrestle, and in his book, he does both. He wrestles with God concerning the problem of how a holy God could use a wicked nation like Babylon to chasten the people of Judah, and then by faith, he embraces God and clings to his promises. Habakkuk also wrestles with the spiritual decline of the nation and why God wasn't doing something about it. Habakkuk wanted to see people revived, but God wasn't answering his prayers. End of quote. Beloved, like Habakkuk, we have been witness to the spiritual decline of our beloved country, the greatest country in the world. Like this man of God, I would like to see our people revived. Nothing short of a spiritual awakening is going to turn this nation around back to God. But realize, revival is not something for unbelievers. Revival is for believers. Any doctor or nurse or emergency worker that shows up to help folks who are injured will tell you that you cannot revive someone who is dead. You can only revive someone who still has life within them. Well, unbelievers are dead in their trespasses and sins, the Bible says. Believers have the Holy Spirit living within them. Believers have life, the life of Christ in them, and it is believers who must experience revival. Revival begins in the church. Revival begins in the hearts of God's children. Of course, we are the church. The church is not a building. The church, of course, is the people. Let's capture a fresh vision and passion for the cause of Christ. Let's pray, God, revive me to be a greater evangelist, to be a greater witness for you. And Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, we are to be his witnesses. And his words in Acts 1:8 are just as applicable to us as it was to those followers of Christ who watched him ascend back to heaven. Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning with verse 2 now. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Surely, when I share with you some thoughts regarding what should be our vision here, I hope to make it plain and that you will, as Habakkuk says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. There has never, never, never been a day when we need to become more serious with the task of running forward with the gospel than today. The gospel, of course, is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's called the good news. It's the greatest news that mankind has ever received. Our country seems to be losing its way, folks, big time, at a very accelerating rate. Not only is our country losing its way, but it seems like families are falling apart more than ever. There's a crime crisis in our nation's capital. I've heard that they are considering bringing in the National Guard to help with the crime crisis. Then there's the acceptance and the affirming of immorality that is greater than ever, and the problems we have are numerous. There are 54 churches in Fairfax County that are affirming churches. That means they do not believe that homosexuality is a sin. Linda and I were driving down Franconia Road. It was Friday, I believe, and I saw something so interesting. There was a church on the left and a church on the right. And I quickly went through there, so my eyes just grabbed what I saw. The church on the left had a marquee, or one of these electronic signs, I suppose. It had the colors of the rainbow on it. Now, I'm not going to say I know for sure. I haven't looked it up, but that's an indication that's one of those affirming churches when you see the colors of the rainbow like that. But then on the right, there was another church that had on its electronic sign the scripture from Genesis, God made them male and female. That was so interesting that the church on the right was kind of giving, no, they were giving the truth in regards to the day in which we're living today, folks. And we need to pray for our country. We need to resolve that revival is going to start in our own hearts. And no matter what the problems may seem to be in our country, the problem is really the heart of mankind. You know, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only Jesus can fill the void in an unbeliever's heart. Some of the best news that we know that the heart is mentioned in Romans 10:9, that thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the message that everyone needs to hear. All immorality is sin, lying is sin, cheating is sin. It's all sin, and every sinner needs to receive Christ as Savior, and we're to be his ambassadors. We're to be his witnesses. Let us as never before embrace the truth of the gospel, and may it go to others through us more than ever. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. That's what Habakkuk says. We don't have forever to deliver this gospel, this good news. I believe that procrastination is the enemy of evangelism. Ezekiel 3:18-19 says, When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. The Apostle Paul has such a passion to reach his beloved people. He even wished himself a curse from God if they would be saved. Of course, that's not the way God works. But he had a passion. He put his heart out there for his people. And folks, I think we ought to be able to say, and we want to be able to say with Paul, as he said in Acts 20:26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. That's a powerful statement, folks. That is a powerful statement. That means he was faithful to God to give the gospel to those who crossed his path. I can't say that. Can any of us say that we're innocent of the blood of all men? Well, no one of us will meet everyone in the world, of course, but all of us have a personal world of influence. Our world should start, I think, with our family. Our family is so important. Linda's and my legacy will not be this church. It's going to be our family. It's going to be our family. We have 5 kids, as most of you know, and 15 grandkids now. We have 6 grandkids going into Liberty University this fall, and 2 of them are online, so 8 of our 15 will be involved at Liberty, and I'm thrilled to death about that. I want my children and grandkids to honor the Lord with their lives. And a part of my prayer time is that my grandchildren will take the gospel to their generation, that they will encounter a generation that Linda and I won't know. It needs to start with our family. Have you been praying for your family members to be saved? I had a cousin named Jeff Rodenheiser. Jeff lived in Lynchburg. His dad and my dad were brothers. Jeff had cancer. He was a little bit younger than me, and his sister Margot became his caregiver. Margot had just cared for her dad and mom. Her mom had recently passed away when Jeff came down with cancer, and then she began to be his caregiver. And Margot and her husband Danny had their share of heartache. They had 2 boys. One of them had just came out of the Coast Guard, and I think he was 27, and all of a sudden he just dropped dead. He had a heart problem, and he was actually working with his dad when he just dropped dead. And then their other son, who lived in Philadelphia, he was about 40 years old. He was our daughter Melody's age, and something happened with his CPAP machine, and he passed away. Both of their sons preceded them in death. But Margot and Danny are doing fine. Margot has said, like, she's not a daughter. Her parents are gone. She's not a mother. Her 2 sons are gone. She is, in other words, she named several things that she is not now. But I told her, well, she's not a sister because her cousin Jeff has passed away. I told her, I'm her brother now. I will be her brother now. And she's one of the most precious people that you could ever meet. She's on top of her circumstances, folks. She knows the Lord, and she's on top of her circumstances, as difficult as they may be. But sometime after I heard Jeff had cancer, I contacted him and asked if I could come see him. So I went to his place in Lynchburg, and we had a conversation, and then eventually I shared the gospel with Jeff. And Jeff received Jesus as his Savior. And now he's with the Lord. It's been some years ago that Linda and I were headed to Richmond, and her Uncle Charlie was in the hospital. And I don't think that's why we were going to Richmond, but since we were passing by that area, we decided to go see Uncle Charlie. Now, he was in his 80s at the time, so we went in the hospital room, and Charlie was just he was just an easygoing guy, a very pleasant person. Charlie was very pleasant. And I had the opportunity of sharing the gospel with Charlie. And Charlie invited Jesus Christ to be his Savior, and not long after that, he passed away. You know, the thief on the cross didn't have much time, did he? And neither did those 2. But praise God, they're in heaven now because they both invited Christ into their life. Linda and I didn't have forever to reach Charlie. I didn't have forever to reach Jeff. Maybe some of you have some family members who have cancer, and maybe they don't have much time, but listen, any one of us could be killed in a car crash any moment. At any moment, some of us may not make it home. But we need to focus on our family. Lord, guide me to give the gospel to my family members. Maybe you've shared the gospel with some family members already, but they've not been open to it, and they just haven't yet received Christ into their hearts. Never stop praying for a family member who's not a Christian. Amen? Never, never stop praying for them. Recently, Kevin Lauder preached here in July. Kevin is one of our boys that came to Christ as a child here. And he pastors First Baptist Church. Forgot the name of the town in Florida. And what a wonderful job he's doing for the Lord there. But Kevin preached here. And Kevin shared that he and his brother, I believe he pointed over here. That's where they sat. And he and his twin brother would come to the altar and pray for their mom. And I think that became a habit for them to just come to the altar and pray for their mom. They prayed for their mom for 33 years, and then their mom received Jesus as her Savior. And now she's a Christian. Never give up, folks. No matter how long it takes, never give up praying for your family members, and never think you have all the time in the world to reach them for Christ. Habakkuk, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Boy, waiting is difficult. I know that most of you are used to waiting because you've been on I-95. And you live in this area. And I don't know how much time that we spend standing in line. Waiting is a part of life. We live in a very fast-paced, quick-service, I-want-it-today culture. When it does not happen quickly, it's easy to give up, to quit, and forget it. Never, never give up. Hey, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. But it will surely come. It will not tarry. Habakkuk was told to write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Today we are gathered together to meet to set the tone for the days ahead for our church. I'm thankful for our past. My, what a wonderful past we have. So many people have been called into the ministry here. Praise the Lord for all the churches that we have launched and for the people that have gone with them to start their churches. Praise the Lord for everyone who has been saved and baptized here, for all the growth, for all the discipleship that has taken place, and we're not done yet. The good old days are exactly that. They're good, they're old, and they're gone. We're moving towards the good, fresh, new days. I like Paul's word construction in Philippians here. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that word press implies resistance. Whenever you are resolved to be single-minded, forgetting the past and not allowing the past to cripple your future, and you're determined to go forward for the cause of Christ, there's going to be pressing. There's going to be resistance. The devil will do everything he can to discourage you and to stop you. I promise you that. Listen. A consecrated follower of Christ, one who is resolved to grow in Christ, is going to get the devil's attention. That word press implies resistance. In other words, you take a rubber tire on ice, it's going to spin and spin, ain't going nowhere. So when things are smooth and everything, you're not going anywhere. But you put a rubber tire on a dry pavement, it will move that vehicle forward. Resistance is a blessing to us. Resistance lets us know that We're going in the right direction when we're being attacked by the devil. Folks, the Bible says, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You keep going forward. Don't let anything stop you. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Proverbs 29:18, the first part of that verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. All around us, people are perishing. Vision, you see, is the ability to see the invisible. But if merely seeing the invisible were just enough, then anyone who can dream could be classified as a visionary. Inspirational vision produces more than a dream, folks. It always produces action. Genuine vision gives birth to volition, the ability to make the invisible visible. That's what volition is. Genuine vision gives birth to volition. Volition is the ability to make the invisible visible. Peter Marshall said, "Give us clear vision that we may know where to stand and what to stand for. Because unless we stand for something, we shall fall for anything." From a vision standpoint, I'd like for us to hold to those things that matter as we march into the future ministry of this church. We've gone through COVID. The Lord has blessed us. We've done just fine. We are moving forward. Boy, the school really grew. We went from about 200 kids to over 300 kids in our school now. And we're moving forward as a ministry. We just need more workers. Yep. We're out of COVID now. We're going forward. But there are some things that matter as we march into our future ministry. And I'm going to ask you to take ownership of these things from my heart. Regardless, this is number one, regardless of the change in our culture, we will as Christians hold to the unchanging truth of God's holy word. The Bible is the authority for my life. I hope it is for yours too. You know, the Bible's going to last forever. God's word is forever. The soul of mankind is forever. Those are two things that are forever. Everybody's going to spend eternity either in heaven or that horrible place called hell. And we want to be sure here at Calvary Road that we do everything we can to reach as many people for Christ as we can. Start with your family. I've already talked about that. And then go on to your neighbors, your co-workers. But as a vision, let's have a vision to stand steady and strong on the unchanging truth of God's word, regardless of the culture. Yeah, culture changes, but truth doesn't. Culture changes, but the words of our God never change. I want you to know that if this church ever changes its posture on the word of God, may as well tear it down. Get rid of it. Because there will be no more real purpose for this church then. Many churches across our land have forsaken the truth of God's word, succumbed to the culture that we have. The church has to be careful like a ship on water. As long as that water, as long as the ship is dry on the inside, and as long as there's no leaks leaking into the ship, that ship's going to stay on the water right. But when that ship begins to leak, when that ship begins to take on water, it's going to begin to sink. Yes, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're pilgrims just passing through. And yes, we're in the world, but we're to be messengers of the gospel in this world. And as long as I'm here, by the grace of God, the truth of God's word will continue to be proclaimed. And number two, a concentration on our walk with the Lord. Yes, we're in the world. We're not of the world. Philippians 3:20-21 says, "For our citizenship is in" where? "Heaven. from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're certainly closer to his return than we've ever been. Who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We are to be a people of consecration to the Lord. You are the only Bible that so many people see at your work, in your neighborhood. Even you pulling out of your driveway on Sunday morning sends a message. Many of your neighbors really do get it. They eventually figure, hey, maybe they're going to church. Even pulling out your driveway is a testimony. How you talk at work and your conduct, your disposition, how even tempered that you are, how Christ-like that you are, makes a difference. Here's a part of the Holman Bible Dictionary definition of consecration. Consecration refers to persons or things being separated to or belonging to God. They are holy or sacred. They are set apart for the service of God. Phillips Brooks said, it does not take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men. The goal of the child of God should not be happiness, but holiness. So a vision of progressiveness is consecration, or a vision of progressiveness and consecration is a healthy journey. Perfection is not our goal, folks. That's impossible as long as we're in the flesh. Perfection is not our goal, but improvement should always be our goal. Always. Three, I want you to join me with a vision for everyone to be serving in the ministry. This is so important, is that everyone who is a believer take up some level of ministry to serve Jesus. I know everybody's busy and everything. But if Jesus Christ is number one, if you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as we should love him, you will not be able to help but join him in his work. You can't help it. If you've joined our church, then join your life to our church. Participate. Our lack of participants limits the ministry that we can have in this area. Capture a vision, seeing yourself doing something for Christ. Young and older. I was 17 years old, and I taught a boys' class at my home church, Thomas Road Baptist Church. Boy, well, what a ball we had. I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, but I did the best I could. There was a senior man named R.C. Worley there, and he was in his 60s, and we met when I was about 16 years old, I believe. He was such a wonderful mentor for my life. Personally, I think they probably gave him the class of boys, and he allowed me to teach it. So some of those boys weren't, I think there was only about a five-year difference in our age. And so I was a teacher, and he was kind of the bouncer in the class. He probably protected me. But man, what glorious days those were, serving the Lord. You're not too young to serve in some capacity, and you're not too old to serve in some capacity, because we need your strength, we need your experience to invest it in other people's lives. Capture a vision, seeing yourself joining your life with the life of Christ's church. Number four, join me with a vision for every child of God inviting people to church. Amen? Is that scriptural? Every Christian is to be a witness. And the gospel is powerful. Once again, I refer to Kevin Lauder preaching here. And the way that he and his twin brother got to church, it was during the days of the bus ministry that some of you may recall. And some of you are not old enough to recall that. But there was a day when our church has a multiplicity of buses, and bus captains would go out on Saturdays, knock on doors, inviting children to church. And those were the days when there was a trustworthiness in our culture that is not there anymore. And so Ronnie Roach was in the Oakdale Road area, and he saw these two boys playing in their yard. He stopped and invited them to church. Of course, they were he would have spoken with their mom, and she was a single mom. And those two boys began to attend church, and this is where they heard the gospel and came to Christ. You just never, never know. Dr. Elmer Towns, who's the co-founder of Liberty University, said something like this: 87% of people who attend church come because of a personal invitation. I would say that the majority of believers, well, I'll just say a majority of believers never share the gospel with anybody. I would say many never do. But beloved, I'm going to make things real easy for you this morning. There is available for you here and in other spots around the church. I know that for you out here in the coffee area. There is available for you plastic bags that says "Important Message from Your Friends at Calvary Road Baptist Church." Address and phone number is there. And inside of these bags is literature elaborating on the ministries that we offer here for children, for youth, for adults. Things going on here. Plus, there's a magnet. Plus, there's the gospel of Jesus Christ here. The four spiritual laws are here. And what I want you to do, now we'll have these bags available for Sundays to come. Okay, so you don't have to take a handful thinking that this is the last day I can get them. No, you just take one or two. Take it home with you. And pray a prayer like this: Lord, who would you have me to give this back to before next Sunday? Now, it's got to disappear before next Sunday, okay? To a neighbor, to a family member, or to someone that you care about. And what you do is when you decide who that person is going to be. It can be a waiter or waitress that has been waiting on you for a while, and you may have a relationship with that person. It can be anybody. And it can be a waiter or a waitress that is brand new, or a co-worker. Anyway, pray and ask the Lord to guide you concerning who you're going to give this back to. And you just say, hey, I want you to have this back here. It's an invitation to Calvary Road Baptist Church, the church I go to. And I'd like for you to check us out. There's all kinds of information in this bag right here. And it would be an honor for me to have you as my guest. That's not so hard, is it? But be sure to take at least one bag. Lay it on the dresser or somewhere. If you really want to be reminded, attach it to your refrigerator, because I know that's where you go most of the time anyway. And so put it in a very conspicuous place and resolve that you're not going to come next Sunday without this one being passed out, and then you're going to get another one. Amen? Let's get serious about the mission that Jesus has put us all on. Five, join me with a vision for a greater music ministry. I'm thankful for Gavin Davis. Today he just led for the third time. He went to Liberty University. He used to lead music for McLean Bible Church, their campus, and they have multiple campuses for McLean Bible Church over in Prince William County. And the Lord has led us together, and you'll be seeing more and more of Gavin. He's married, and his wife teaches in the same school where my daughter-in-law is a librarian at Hilton High School. And, boy, it's a small world. And they have three kids. They have a daughter that's going to start her sophomore year at Liberty this year. And Gavin and his wife met at Liberty, as a matter of fact. And anyway, he's a blessing, and I'm looking forward to the relationship that we're going to have and to him building the music ministry here. Have a vision for it. Some of you can sing. Some of you can play instruments. Hey, talk to Gavin in the days ahead, and let's see you up here. Number six, let's have a vision for a starfish experience here at our church. Now you're thinking, Pastor, have you lost your mind? What do you mean a starfish experience here at CRBC? Recently, a church planter gave me this. I love church planters. And he gave me this book here. And it says, it's called Starfish Movement by Dan Grider. Let me share this. The starfish was designed with multiplication in every cell. And some of you may even know this. That means a starfish will often reproduce in a situation that would otherwise kill another animal. This multiplication quality is the definition of resilience. A coastal fishing village in Australia faced a crisis. The starfish population was growing at an alarming rate. The massive numbers began to overtake the coastal inlet and destroy the coral, so a group of motivated locals decided to eliminate all the starfish along the Great Barrier Reef. A group of divers began to slice up every starfish they found. Unaware, they were causing the starfish population to explode. This reproductive quality in nature is a perfect parallel to what occurred in the explosive discipleship development of the early church. There, success came from the decentralized nature of the movement. There was not a geographic center, there was no institutional focus, and after the resurrection of Jesus, there was not a single central leader for the movement. In fact, they experienced an explosive season of growth for nearly 300 years. Jesus had established the church to be a starfish movement from the beginning. This season of growth saw a motley band of peasants reproduce until nearly half of the known world had become Christ followers. Wow. Have you ever wanted to be a starfish? You know? May God make this church a starfish church. Let every one of us who name the name of Jesus determine that there will be no mountains or challenges in our lives that will stop us from taking ownership of the mission that Jesus Christ has given to us here. Every single one of us have such potential to reach our world of influence with the gospel. Let's become starfish believers. No matter how you slice a starfish, it's going to survive. In the book of Joshua, we find a man who had not lost his strength or heart after 40 years in the wilderness. His name is Caleb. In Joshua 14, Caleb addresses Joshua and shares this with him. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." That's where I want to be. I want to be a person who wholly follows the Lord my God. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain on which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Well, did that happen? Well, we find over in Judges 1:20, "And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said, and he expelled from there the three sons of Anak." He did it. Now, Caleb was not self-conscious about his age, and he had not lost confidence in what the Lord could do. He was not intimidated by these giants, and he expelled them from there. He said, "Give me this man." What giants in your life is hindering you and keeping you from being a bolder witness for Jesus Christ? We need to pray as believers, "God, give me holy boldness. Give me holy boldness." That's a boldness where you don't care what people think or what they may say, but you're going to do your best to help them understand the importance of them going to heaven and the importance of understanding the gospel and the importance of taking personal inventory of their life and you want to help them to the best of your ability to understand God's love for them. What giants are hindering you? Is it fear? The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. May God help us all to be like the starfish. As I'm on a journey to 45 years here at Calvary Road, which will take place next June. Actually, Linda and I have been serving the Lord in this area since the fall of 1977, including the start of our church in the school building. We need to keep slaying the mountains of doubt, the giants of doubt in our life. What are the mountains of doubt in your life? I want to finish my race well. I think you do too. So whatever, let's all say together, give us this mountain before us for thy honor and glory. Slay the mountains of doubt, the mountain of apathy, the mountain of laziness, and the mountain of fear. Let's all capture a fresh vision and passion for the mission that the Lord has put before us. And all God's people said,